like we do it.
Hey, hey.
Hello.
Oh, no. Wait, I think we're missing someone. Are we missing?
Are we missing?
Well, we kind of know where she is. So Stacy's, I'm not the only one on this podcast who's a sucker for our private jet. And so Stacy was bragging and bragging. Well, guess what? She's grounded in Antigua right now.
Yeah. Air. We have boots on the ground. Yeah.
Air Diddy. I mean, I wouldn't turn down a flight on a G5 either. So I can't blame her, but she should have asked a few more questions.
Yeah. It's in hindsight, it's probably not a great idea to take that flight.
I mean, we're giving her the benefit of the doubt that she didn't know what she was signing up for. We're not saying she did anything or knew anything. I know I get blinded when I hear about a jet. So
that's true. Yeah, that's true.
Well, I guess speaking of Diddy, what a week.
He's going through it right now.
Yeah.
He's two homes on a Monday. His two of his homes. He has more than two. But these specifically, the one in LA and Miami, were raided by the feds. Based on he's being investigated for sex trafficking, sexual assault, soliciting and distributing narcotics and firearms. And that's just what we know of.
Yeah. This is very like Epstein-esque, isn't it?
Very, very. And it seems to stem from the lawsuits that we actually talked about previously on here. Two specifically. One was from Cassie, his ex-girlfriend of 15 years, on and off from back in the fall. And then that one from the producer Lil Rod from last month, who both kind of accused Diddy of similar things. It had to do with sexual assault, physical abuse, emotional abuse, guns, drugs, prostitutes. But the weird thing is, so those two, the Cassie and Lil Rod and some other anonymous ones, were all civil lawsuits, not criminal. Mm-hmm. And this is criminal. This is the feds. So evidently what we can read into that is the feds saw something that they felt like they needed to investigate. And in doing so, they found something.
The ones investigating these warrants or raids, whatever, were issued by SDNY, the Southern District of New York,
which
is in the headlines a lot. And they don't, the feds don't come for you unless until they have your case already built.
No, I saw some number. I could be off, but the conviction rate for federal when they bring charges on you is in the 90s because they
it's like 95%.
They don't come at you unless they have it. But the thing that really caught people's attention by this is that both his homes were raided by the Department of Homeland Security, which is not the FBI. So people just, they think the reason the feds were brought in was because of things crossing state lines. Like there were accusations of prostitutes and underage women being transported across state lines for various nefarious things. But that would be the purview of the FBI. Department of Homeland Security and the Customs and Border Protection under it would be international. So that implies that they're looking at sex trafficking and human trafficking internationally, which that makes it even crazier.
I mean, when these raids went down, he was on his jet heading into the Caribbean. Remember?
Yeah.
I mean, he is kind of he is so rich and so kind of global. It's like they had to raid him at two different homes. Like, I don't know where he's gonna be.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fun fact. Sorry. One thing, the SDNY we were talking about, they're the same ones who got Jen Shah. That was the ones who raided the Sprinter van on that episode of Salt Lake City. So it's major when they come for you.
Yeah. And he was, they didn't, I don't want to say they got him because Diddy was detained at an airport, not arrested. And in fact, they said he's not even, his travel's not even restricted. So he was free to leave, but they got him at the Miami Opa-locka Executive Airport in Miami. and he was on his way to the Bahamas with his daughters for spring break. Mm-hmm. Like there were some people thinking, was he fleeing? Where he was leaving the country in a G5. That's sketchy, but evidently he was taking his daughters. But he was detained there. Oddly enough, that was only one of his several G5s, because that's not even his main G5. His main one is the one he's more known for. It's dubbed Love Air. It's his black G5 that is currently sitting in Antigua with Stacy on it. But that is not the one he was flying in.
She got the decoy jet.
She got the, yeah. But it's the nicer of the two. Like, did you see the G5 he actually was detained in? Not as nice. Mm. Not as nice. But the weird thing about his Love Air G5, and people are wondering why on earth is it sitting in Antigua right now, because that's sketchy. But people track the flight, tracked its flights over the last several days. That airport, that plane on Sunday evening flew from Sacramento to Palm Springs, then landed in Palm Springs, and then took off for Van Nuys Airport, landed there a half hour later, and then flew from Van Nuys Airport to Antigua. And people are like, well, that's an odd flight plan. Why on earth was it going to Sacramento, Palm Springs, Van Nuys, Antigua? And he's not on it. He's not on it. So that is odd.
I wonder if he had to send a... I guess we'll find out as things go on where... how much he knew and how long this was going on, etc. My only thought is like Sacramento was like the state capital.
Yeah. Like,
did he have to send a lawyer up there for
Who knows?
People on that scale and with multiple jets, they do like Taylor Swift. There are people explain she's not on all those flights. It's used for business and you use it. You kind of send them out to do your work. So I don't know. It was odd.
Yeah, and the Palm Springs to Van Nuys, or sometimes Kylie Jenner gets in a lot of it, because you'll see her plane go from like Van Nuys Airport to Santa Monica Airport. And people are like, why is she flying 10 miles or however long it is? And it's like, yeah, no, the plane is getting reset to go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But this flight going internationally in the midst of this raid got caught people's attention. Yeah. And so he wasn't at either home when either were raided. And there was some question about how much he knew, because some reports are saying he was not aware at all, which is why he was on this plane going to spring break and he was caught off guard. And his two of his sons were at the LA, is Holmby Hills? Is it Holmby Hills?
Yes. We'll have to get into that in a minute.
two of his sons, Justin and King, were detained at the Holmby Hills one, and they were seen outside in handcuffs, but they weren't arrested. They were just like, you know, is that standard house is being raided by armed officers. So we're going to, anybody in the house is going to have to stay outside.
It's like a security procedure to secure the home while they're searching it.
They were free to go. They went back to the house later on. The Justin one is interesting though, because Justin, I can't recall if that's his oldest son. I don't remember. But Justin has been implicated in this from the lawsuits, from the Lil Rod lawsuit. Lil Rod he said that Justin was recruited with hiring the prostitutes and bringing in the underage girls for these parties. So Justin's been implicated. So the fact that he was there, I mean, again, nobody was arrested yet. So maybe that, you know, they're just looking for things. It's probably the best that Stacy's not here, because the Justin thing always gets me, because he famously is at UCLA. He's a Bruin, or was a Bruin. do you remember that when he was on the UCLA football team? And he didn't get much playing time. So Diddy went in and essentially threatened to beat the shit out of the coach. Like, he threw weights at one of the coaches.
Yeah,
so, that's right. So like, if you're talking intimidation tactics, Diddy's been doing this for a while. But, you know, I didn't want to bring up the Bruin thing with Stacy around, because, of course, she'd make a point of that. But, you know, not one of our finer. I don't even think he's an alum. I think he just went there.
Yeah, I don't think he graduated, Justin. I think there was an issue with the plates. He went to play football and get famous, and it wasn't working with his dad. I think he pulled out.
So we'll see. I I did not hear who if anyone was detained at the Star Island one, but it sounded like, I mean, they came in guns, you know, guns up, the agents, like it was a serious situation. It was not just a knocking on the front door.
Oh, wait, we need to talk about that. Well, we need to talk about both, but I guess we should start with the Star Island Miami one, because they arrived by boat, just like you see in the movies, armed, pulled up to his dock, because this house is on Star Island, which you guys might know from Real Housewives of Miami, where Lisa Hochstein and Leah Black lived. It is the... It's sick. And so, so his house there is like, it's like $40 million, private dock. It's the billionaire island. And so, they came in, and the island only has like one access point, I believe, unless you're coming in by boat to your private dock. There's like a little guarded bridge, and there are boats, security boats that circle the community 24/7. And they came in like kind of like a Scarface.
Yeah. Or Miami
Scarface
Vice or
is how you would picture it. And so they raided him there.
Yeah. Some of his other neighbors are Gloria Estefan, DJ Khaled, pretty much any ridiculously famous and wealthy celebrity in Miami probably has Star Island property.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll see. Well, another thing that came out today, and I should say we record this on Tuesday afternoon, so it's entirely possible this story gets updated in the time until this comes out. But as of today, there was somebody arrested on Diddy's plane, the one that he was at. In the Miami airport, which is odd that he was taking his girls to spring break, but this guy was with them. It's a 25-year-old named Brendan Paul, who works for Diddy. He was named in the Lil Rod lawsuit as a close confidant of Diddy's, and Lil Rod says that Brendan Paul is in charge of Diddy's guns and drugs. Basically, he's the man in charge of the guns and drugs. And he also, according to Lil Rod, is the one who negotiates the fees for the prostitutes.
So he's the procurer.
But he was arrested on the plane because he was in possession when they did a search. He was in possession of cocaine and cannabis edibles, which are both felonies in Florida. So he was arrested for that on the plane, but it was sort of unrelated to the overall investigation. But the weirdest thing, and I hate to, you know, judge a book by its cover, but if you look at a photo of this Brendan Paul, does not look like somebody who'd be working in this line of work. He looks like a 25-year-old stoner. He's like a skinny white kid who evidently works for this Diddy empire. He was arrested on the plane, so there was that. But I guess we'll see, you know.
One other thing we left out, it would be horrible to just give them Star Island and not talk about the LA house. Just a little briefing on that. This is what caught my attention, by the way. My mind kind of like flies past like the really tawdry's not the word because they love salacious stuff, but you know what I mean, the like sex trafficking and all that crap. I'm like, but when I turn on the news and I see the aerial shot of the mansion, I was like, oh my god, now they had me. And then so just from the aerial shot, I was like, what community is that in? So Diddy's home is in Holmby Hills. Holmby Hills, as we've discussed at length on here, it's the best neighbor. It is where the Playboy Mansion is. And most importantly, it is where Spelling Manor is. Mm. And his house is on the same block. It's on the same street, South Mapleton, Spelling Manor. South Mapleton. Yeah, Spelling Manor.
You know what? Spelling Manor should be the name of the entire neighborhood, to be honest.
It's the biggest flex to live on that street in LA. And so his house, the one that was raided, you guys saw, gorgeous. It's a $55 million compound. It's like 15,000 square feet, like 9 bedrooms, 10 baths. But like I said, most importantly, it's on billion. So in Miami, the house that was rated was on the Billionaire Island. South Mapleton in LA is Billionaire Row. And so they shut the whole street down.
Yeah. The TMZ had video, just to talk about some of his famous neighbors. During the raid, there was footage of Ridley Scott, director Ridley Scott, who is a neighbor of his. And Ridley Scott was clearly annoyed because he was not allowed to go back to his house. He was not detained, but he was stopped by these federal agents. So those neighbors are not happy with him. Yeah. And like what you said with the choppers, that's another reason that people were confused about how maybe Diddy was unaware of it, because there were news helicopters there immediately. So it's like the media knew about it. You know, so how did Diddy not? Yeah. That's odd. But yeah, I'm sure his neighbors at both homes were very annoyed by the being put out like that. One other interesting tie-in, and we're going to learn more in the next few days, obviously, who else they have their eyes on. The reports came out that the whole basis of the investigation was that the Department of Homeland Security had already talked to, I think they said, 3 women and 1 man for the investigation, but they didn't specify who that is. Mm-hmm. But there are so many people that were part of this mass, you know, this criminal organization, as Little Rod said, who know everything. Like, I'm sure it's terrifying for Diddy that this Brendan Paul was his gun drug guy was arrested for just, I mean, felony cocaine possession is not a small thing, but if he decides to turn on Diddy, he can turn on Diddy. And another one who, Diddy's accountant, name is Robin Greenhill. This accountant is they were in charge of overseeing the payments to the sex workers. So where this Brendan Paul was in charge of negotiating the fees, the accountant was in charge of paying them. So this person, this Robin Greenhill, knows a lot. And the fun tie into that is that Robin Greenhill works for TriStar Sports Entertainment. So Robin actually also oversaw Britney's conservatorship. Oh. Like directly involved in Britney's conservatorship, to the point where, I don't know if you remember, that Britney was accusing Jamie and TriStar Entertainment of illegal surveillance in her house, of putting up cameras. Mm-hmm. She specifically accused this Robin Greenhill, who may be going down with this accountant. So that should be interesting. So maybe Britney will get the last laugh here. Who knows?
Wow.
But then there was one other person that was named in the lawsuit that I'm sure they'll be interested to talk to. But Diddy's chief of staff, this woman named Christina Corum, evidently, according to the previous Little Rod lawsuit, Christina instructed the entire staff to lace at the parties, to lace champagne, his tequila, and his Ciroc vodka with ecstasy. Specifically, with this person's job, the chief of staff, was to make sure all drinks were laced with ecstasy. And this chief of staff required that all employees of the home, everything from butlers to housekeepers, at all times had to carry a pouch or fanny pack full of ecstasy, cocaine, and GHB.
This is very fitting that he lives right there by the Playboy Mansion, because those are the kinds of things that used to go on back there.
Yeah. And also near the house where Michael Jackson died, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I know that was not Michael Jackson's house. Wasn't that like the a designer? I forget what
designer it was. Christian Odege, who was a cheesy brand like Ed Hardy.
Yes, it was. That's right. I knew it was somebody else's house, but that's, yeah. So, you know, I guess we'll see. But I'd say it's not looking good for Diddy. And it seems another recurring theme with the guns thing is that, you know, Cassie claimed that Diddy made her carry guns around in her purse for him. Lil Rod kind of made a similar accusation. And we talked about before, he made Jennifer Lopez do that back in the day. That's what she almost got into a lot of trouble for, is that he made her carry firearms. So that seems to be a thing that he's been accused of for a long time. So we'll see. Maybe Diddy's reckoning is coming, or maybe he'll just somehow get out of it. But we'll see. But it definitely not a good way.
Fleet of Bali with Russell Simmons.
Maybe. Yeah. So Oh, and another tie-in, just where people think, you know, the international thing, where of previous accusations, like Lil Rod, one of his accusations is that he was sexually assaulted by Diddy and Cuba Gooding Jr. down in the Virgin Islands. So that could be, so that technically makes it international. So that is another reason why Homeland Security is involved. But yeah, anyway, so bad week to be Diddy. Bad week to be Diddy.
Hey guys, it's Jen, and I host the Beauty Pop podcast along with Victoria Keelan. And if you haven't been listening to Beauty Pop, well, you've been missing a lot. Check it out.
Here's my next hack. You may think it's a little cringe, but I've done it and it works. If you don't have powder for your face and you're getting a little shiny and you don't have any blotting papers,
I know where you're
What's
going.
In the bathroom that's the same material as a blotting paper?
You can use your seat cover for the toilet.
Yep. It is the exact same material.
So if you're looking for product reviews, makeup tips, some pop culture news, be sure to follow the Beauty Pop podcast. New episodes drop every single Thursday, and you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite shows.
Since we are talking international scandals here, we just got through Diddy in his house on LA's Royalty Row, the palaces of tycoons. Let's go to the real palace. I guess that was castle Windsor, Kensington.
Windsor's a castle. Windsor's a castle. Kensington's a palace. Go figure.
Yeah.
One of our British listeners may have to tell me what exactly the difference is there, but we finally heard from Kate, which very sad news, very tragic news, but we finally heard from her, so maybe now the conspiracy theories and jokes, hopefully the jokes will stop, but I have a feeling they're not going to.
Wait, I don't think the jokes should stop. I think the I don't mean that they should now keep making fun of her. But what I mean is, I don't think the jokes were bad to begin with. They forced
There were some worse than others. I will say for us, we've talked about this quite a bit in the last few weeks. I don't think we ever said anything inappropriate or mean. We, Mike, like most people, questioned certain things because of the, I mean, even with this official announcement of Kate saying that she has cancer, I think we can still all admit that how badly the firm, the royal family, just fumbled everything.
That's it. And why it's actually, if you read articles that are pointed at the public shaming us once she finally admitted she had cancer, the issue wasn't people hoping no one wanted to hear she had cancer. Like, we were hoping for, I think most people, look at the jokes. They were BBLs, a bad haircut, maybe a divorce or something. Mm-hmm. No one was hoping she was in a grave state.
No.
And also, like, well, Stacey's not here to argue this one, but she says she deserved the privacy. But I will say Kate Middleton is the centerpiece of a public institution supported by tax. She's a worldwide public figure.
Yeah.
And so that in a family that is known for mistreating women who've married into the family in very recent history, Diana, etc. So we had, I think people, as much as they were joking, they were concerned about her. People were digging, just give us any answer.
And just if you look back and try to retcon it from like the things that the royal family did release, photos and various things, obviously the super Photoshop one was now looking back was even more absurd because of how much we've seen her appearance now. Unless people have gone down the rabbit hole of thinking that this new video of her announcing her cancer is also fake, mm-hmm. which I'm sure people are going to do. But the, that very first photo of her in the car with her mom, mm-hmm. now we don't know who that was, because that person was not the same. If Kate is thin, like we've seen how thin she, so now it makes me think that video from her and William from last week, that seems to be what, you know, is skinny. People commented, oh my gosh, she looks so skinny in that. That seems to fit. But that photo of the purported photo of Kate with her mom in the car, I don't know who that was now, because that is not the same person.
I think it was Pippa. She has a fuller face. The big giveaway that it wasn't Kate, at least it doesn't prove that it's Pippa, but the full face. And I mean, Kate's never had a full face. And we saw in the video, she's that lack of buccal buckle fat. I mean, if she wasn't sick, I'd applaud her for the how thin she is. But I mean, that one had a different face that's more similar to Pippa. But it wasn't Kate. Yeah. That's all we know.
No,
for sure.
But I mean, so obviously they knew this. The royal family knew that they had to announce this at some point. And just, I don't understand why they fumbled it for so long. I'm not saying it was anybody's business for them to do it right away. It was announce it whenever she's ready. You know, there was the whole thing with her kids and her family, and that's totally understandable. But I'm just questioning what the PR team over there was doing. Like, why didn't they do this sooner? Why did they let the whole world come down with these memes and jokes and conspiracy theories for weeks, for months without before it, you know, if they knew what they were going to announce all along. But And yeah, like you said, so many people made jokes, made some more inappropriate than others. Some people have backtracked and apologized. Like, for instance, Stephen Colbert on his show on Monday, he apologized for the jokes he'd been making over the last several weeks. He's like, that was inappropriate of me. Good on him. Some others have not. Andy made a lot of jokes on his podcast. Andy Cohen. I don't. As far as I know, I have not seen an apology from him. And again, like you said, I don't know if you necessarily need to, unless you were being extremely harsh. Blake Lively apologized because right after the Photoshop picture was where most of the jokes came from. Right. And I think those were kind of deserved because that was absurd.
The content I was making out of it was triggered by the fake photo.
Yeah.
That's when it's like, how can you, if they just remain silent and all people were doing was having theories about it, well, that's then people are just like, whatever, being mean. But the fact that they were throwing out these decoy photos and now they were lying to the public on top of it all, it forced people to get intense. And the content I was putting out was based on the photo. They were the fake photo they put out. I started putting out my own that were all Lisa Vanderpump.
Yeah.
Sightings of Vanderpump.
No, I think some were more harmless than others in general. Like Blake Lively, after the Photoshop one, she posted a thing that was essentially an ad for her. She has like a sparkling soda alcohol thing called Betty Buzz. It's her new thing she's doing. And she posted a photo right after it, basically saying, I'm so excited to share Betty Buzz. Now you've known why I've been MIA this whole time. And in the photo, it's so clearly Photoshopped, like jokingly, like her fingers are enormous. And it was so, you know, it was a play on the heavy Photoshop. But she felt so bad about it now, after the truth has come out about the cancer, that Blake Lively released a statement apologizing. She's like, I feel so bad about this. I was making a joke. I shouldn't have made a joke. So she did that. And then on the other end, you've got Kim Kardashian, who right around that time posted a photo of her outside. I think it was her Rolls, where she's like getting into her car. And the caption was, I'm off to go. She said, I'm off to go find Kate. And you know, and it was kind of a joke at the time, but she has not even taken it down. It's still there. If you go on Kim's IG page, the I'm going to go find Kate thing is still there, despite the fact that half the comments are people being like, you really should take this down. Like from Friday on, they're like, okay, it was funny at the time, but you should not have this still up.
Yeah. I mean, my whole thing is no one wanted it. She can take it down. I mean, because at this point, now that we know, it's kind of lame. But as far as, she doesn't need to issue an issue an apology.
No, I really don't think so.
People who were curious should feel, maybe if they had given us answers, we wouldn't have been so curious. And then so to shame us for something we didn't, they were trying to shame us for something they purposely withheld answers about. So it's like, yeah. Oh, who's the dick now? Well, you guys are. You lied to us. So they set themselves up for it. I'm leaving all my Vanderpump memes up. Oh God, I have that. We have that one on PCPIG, that reel. That's the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills set to Kate, Megan, mm-hmm. all the different. So
no, that, I think that's still good. That one's still funny.
It's adorable.
Yeah.
Just like us.
You know what? We are. Yeah, we have. You know what? We have nothing to apologize for. We did. Mm. We did. Some of those others, Andy. Maybe apologize. Not us. We're good. I said from the very beginning, I feel like every time we brought up Kate, from the very beginning, we always started with, we want the best for her. We're not making light of this situation. Yeah. Even though at the time, we didn't even know about that. Cancer was always thrown out there. You know, that was just one of the many, many health theories. So knowing that, we made a point to say, we want the best for her. So, you know. I don't feel like we have anything to apologize for. No.
We never do. That's what
we. You know what? I'm not entirely sure we would apologize if we did. To be honest with you, like you're right. When you backtrack and start apologizing, you shine more of a spotlight on it. Do you think people honestly remembered Blake Lively? Although for her, actually, this is good business for Blake because now people are actually looking at. I did not know what Betty Buzz was until Blake came out and to apologize for the Betty Buzz. Yeah. But if Kim deletes her post or apologizes for it, that draws way more attention to it. She's just hoping it just blows over, which you know what? It might. Nobody's thinking about Kate, right? Nobody's thinking about Kim in relation to Kate Middleton, right?
Right. Like one thing, we've actually discussed it on here before, is ever since the Royals came out swinging, since Harry and Meghan sat down with Oprah, the royal family has now become... It's weird that we have a declare more famous than the Kardashians. They knocked the Kardashians down a peg from A++ super Illuminati stars to regular A-list celebrities. Mm-hmm. And so there's one good thing that's come from all these royal scandals. It's put the Kardashian Jenners in their place.
Like on TMZ, just on Friday alone, after... TMZ had about six posts in a row on Friday afternoon when the palace released the announcement, and it was just all about Kate. TMZ had on all these doctors that were just guessing what type of cancer. It was like, it was just so reckless. And they brought on child psychologists to talk about, like, to address how Kate and William will have to tell the kids. It was just so much. It was, except the TMZ, they broke into the in from their nonstop Taylor Swift coverage to do nonstop Kate coverage.
Right.
But yeah. And they totally knocked off.
Another one, Taylor and Kim Kardashian, they could almost slip into a restaurant without 20 cops right now. Almost.
I don't know about Taylor, but Kim probably could.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of castles and palaces, or factories, if you will, Page Six this week had a fun, you know what? It was a snarky post. I didn't actually appreciate it, to be honest with you. But basically it was talking about how Cheesecake Factory is like the new celeb hotspot. You know, it's like they jokingly compared it to Carbone in New York or like Giorgio Baldi in LA, like the new in place for celebrities. It was kind of a tongue in cheek post, but still not wrong. You know, they said that obviously more fairly recently in an interview that I know you appreciated, Kathy Hilton talked about how she is a huge fan of the old Cheesecake Factory. Yeah.
I have a little fun fact about that. I was there in the room for that interview. It was a press day for a project. You guys have seen it out now. Smirnoff Smashed Iced Tea, and she's the face of it. She's the Duchess of Noth, the She invented Smirnoff iced tea, smashed iced tea. Anyway, so it was a press day and I was working and I saw it was a quote, Evan Real, our friend Evan Real, page six and stuff. Doing the press rounds and she was sitting there in the house interviewing her. And while this was about the project, the product and everything, she mentioned she had just been Cheesecake Factory. And everyone's like, wait, what? Kathy Hilton? She's like, yeah, Rick and I go every week. And it just turned into this like thing now. That's her power.
Yeah. It's just,
she has that Oprah effect, the Kathy Hilton effect.
she even called out their orders. She said that Rick loves the old chicken Alfredo. And she said she loves the meatloaf. And her quote, I loved her quote from that interview is, where else can you get meatloaf? And my answer to Kathy would be a lot of places, to be honest. Though I will say Cheesecake Factory's meatloaf is really, really good. But yeah, like, you know, when the Queen of Beverly Hills, when she goes there, Hoda Kotb from the Today Show, she also said in a separate interview recently that she loves to go on. She loves when a date takes her to the Cheesecake Factory. She also threw out Chili's and Outback. So I love Hoda. I love her. I love her. And then Cheesecake was also in the news last week because Kanye and Bianca, his lovely bride, they were photographed going there to the one at the Grove, which this is the height of this is what A-list celebrity gets you, is that they actually went to the Cheesecake Factory before it opened last week and the doors were locked, but they let security allowed them to go in before opening. That's the kind of A-list perk I want, is being allowed to get into the Cheesecake Factory before it opens. The height of luxury.
Yeah, that's via. He had never seen that. That is treatment beyond any card. No. Kardashian, any. I mean, I think I know where Hoda was coming from by saying that. It's because it's been on Twitter and all this, a girl saying deal breakers for dates, especially first dates for them. And some of them I get, like, they'll be like McDonald's or Panera or whatever. Like, okay. But then some of them are like Cheesecake Factory. And like Hoda was standing up for it, which a lot of people have. Like, what's wrong with the Cheesecake Factory?
Absolutely nothing.
It's a people pleaser. They literally design their menu. What they do is go around the country to places with a single famous dish and they figure out how to replicate it-ish. And then that's why their menu is just an assortment of different cuisines, but everything is a signature dish. So it's a people pleaser.
Yeah. And I to quote Blake Lively again, she said in an interview several years ago, an interview she did with The Cut, where her exact quote was, "The Cheesecake Factory is great. It really should have some Michelin stars." See, I appreciate that, Blake. And Drake in his song Child's Play back from about 2016, one of the lines in his song is, "Why you gotta fight me at the Cheesecake Factory? You know I love to go." So it's getting name checked by Drake. I did not appreciate the tone of this author of this page six article because he was being very snarky about it. He was, you know, Kathy, I honestly believe, was sincere when she said because Kathy's thing also, what was it? She said she loves how bustling it is. She loves that it's like, it's not empty. She goes to the Beverly Hills location, but it's, you know, there's always you're not in an empty, you know, sad restaurant. You're always with people, which I appreciate. But this Ollie Coleman who wrote this, one of the things he said in his article is, "Why do people like the Cheesecake Factory, you know? Fuck you, Ollie Coleman. Fuck you."
We're gonna tear right now the team at page six apart. We open with a lovely shout out to Evan. And then hey Evan, the other writer, he can go.
No. Don't you know what? Yeah, if it's good enough for Kathy, it's good enough for me. That's for damn sure.
That's literally one of the guiding factors in my life. WWKD, mm-hmm. What would Kathy do? So yeah. Honestly,
yeah,
she could be like, drink this bleach from Home Depot. I'd be like, whatever you want, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, if Cheesecake wants to give us a sponsorship, that's cool. If you know, we can call the Paps ahead of time and let them, you know, take pics of us walking in and out of the Cheesecake. That's fine too. No problem. Getting back to Taylor. Travis Kelce was seen recently carrying a to-go bag somewhere. He was not leaving a restaurant, but he was carrying a to-go bag. And if you know the Cheesecake Factory, you recognize that to-go bag. I know those colors anywhere. So if it's good enough for Travis.
A maroon, a rust orange, a light brown.
Stripes, vertical stripes. You know that. You know it. So if it's good enough for all these folks, it's good enough for me.
We have to work on that sponsorship deal now from Cheesecake Factory. The equivalent.
Yeah.
You know what?
Maybe we can get our own signature cheesecake. Maybe. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. With Ozempic in it.
Our Ozempic sponsorship is going to kind of butt heads with our cheesecake sponsorship.
We're literally.
No, actually, it's not. They go one and the same. It's like Shot True. Chaser. It's Shot. Cheesecake Shot. Ozempic Chaser.
Speaking of which, you guys, you don't actually have to sponsor us, but you do know how you could help make our dreams come true by subscribing. That's right. Head on over and click subscribe on Pretty Corrupt Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcasts. That way, you can get new episodes as soon as they drop with little notifications because we have Bravo Breakdown Tuesdays. This is PCP Pop Culture Thursdays. And of course, sometimes they have some surprise bonuses that pop up in there. Of course, once you're done subscribing, make sure to rate, review, and follow. We are on TikTok and Instagram at Pretty Corrupt Podcast and on Twitter at Pretty Corrupt One. Of course, from there, all our personal accounts are linked, Stacey's, Nate's, and mine. So you can find out whose jets we've taken off to and what terrible situations we've landed ourselves in. Mm-hmm. So on that note.
Adios. Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it. Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it.